Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Born and raised Jewish, Jeffrey D. turned away from God at an early age, becoming an avowed atheist. As an adult, he thought his secular humanist ways were the key to his exciting career in broadcasting. But in 1983, at the age of 36, Jeff had a miraculous encounter with the living God and surrendered his heart to Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. 6 years later, the Lord confirmed a call he had given Jeff while visiting Israel to travel the country, telling the Jewish truth about Jesus. And that's why we pause to remind you that Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, calls you to himself today. And that's why we have the Good Life Radio Show, so that you would know how much he loves you and he knows you, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, calls out, reaches out, stretches out his arms for you, dear brother and sister. Would you open your heart to Christ? If you don't know him, you've never received him as your Savior and Lord. The Lord sends Jeffrey D. today to speak heart to heart with us, because he's been dedicated to reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jeffrey D. is a full-time traveling evangelist who has ministered in hundreds of churches and messianic congregations across the country for more than 23 years. His vision to see Jewish people come to know Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, is being fulfilled before his very eyes. This vision also goes forth through the radio program Messianic Minutes, which has been heard on hundreds of Christian stations across the country and even around the world. Shalom, Jeffrey. Welcome to our show.
Shalom ha, my brother.
Shalom ha. I like that. Where did you grow up?
Well, I'm born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania. Now, for Hawaiian folks, that's as far away as you can get. Almost as far away as
just about,
and still be in the United States.
Just about. What was it like growing up there?
Well, of course, I'm raised in a Jewish family, and Danny, it's not that much different today, although it is worse. But when I grew up in my Jewish household, there was lots of importance placed on our being Jewish, but there was little or no reference to God. Hmm. It was all about being Jewish. And if you read the scriptures, being Jewish is all about God, mm-hmm. but not today anymore. And this is the tragedy of the Jewish religion. It's become a religion that's not so much about God, but it's about being Jewish. And not to say that there aren't rabbis trying to do the right thing, but the vast majority of Jewish people, hey, lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's how it was when I grew up.
Why not much, very little, or no mention of God?
Well, historically, I think the Holocaust had an incredibly bad influence on faith, the faith of the Jewish people, that to this day, when we witness to Jewish people, especially those who are 40-plus, especially that age group, almost the first thing out of their mouth, if not the first, it's certainly in the mix, but what kind of God would allow the Holocaust? Certainly for the even older folks, it's a sticking point. So staying Jewish, believing that there's something out there that's a God, but understanding the God that we know through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the average typical Jew is nowhere near there. And likewise, when I grew up, in the 50s and the 60s, and I'm telling you, going to synagogue was the most hated moment of my hour of my life every week. I hated it, because it was dead. Hmm. And, you know, part of the reason it was dead, because the rabbi didn't really know God. And the people around me in the synagogue pews, they didn't know God either. And I'm looking for something meaningful and finding nothing. And that's actually how I became an atheist. I was in synagogue at the time.
There's deep, even hard to describe emotions that run through when you mention the Holocaust and the question, what kind of God would allow the Holocaust? How would you answer someone who asked
today,
that question?
Yeah. Today, I start with this position. When you really believe in God and you understand that he created the universe for his own purposes, and you understand that God's purposes are not our purposes, but that life is a gift, nevertheless, we make much too much fuss over death and not nearly enough fuss over life in our flesh, in our flesh reaction to things. That death to God is not what it is to us, and life to God is not what it is to us. And what we ought to be doing is celebrating life to its fullest while we have it, and not being so grievous about death and making it the big deal that we do, because God's in control. And, of course, the harder part of that is when you're talking to somebody that you know is not a believer, to say, and God's got a plan for eternity, but you got to do it his way. You got to do it his way. But let me just back up to a little bit, because when you're talking to a Jewish person who says, what kind of God would allow the Holocaust, you know, the truth of the matter is meeting them on that level will produce basically nothing, because their mind's already set on that. The only way, in my opinion, to reach anybody, let alone a Jewish person, is to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. And we do that by doing what you do and doing what I do, mm-hmm. being faithful to the Word of God, letting our light so shine, and stepping up. When it's time to step up, step up. When it's time to open your mouth, open it. When it's time to say, wait a minute, there's another way, we need to say that mm-hmm. with love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real key. But the truth of the matter is, to this day, now the younger generation, not so much about the Holocaust. They're just flat out lost. The average typical young adult and 40 and below Jewish person, the typical one now, is typical ones, just say like, you know, whatever. Of course, that's not unlike the rest of the population.
Yeah. Now, you've been given a gift, obviously, a gift of communication. You have a message that's burning in your heart to share. Jeffrey, let's go back. Take a walk down memory lane. Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, I deeply loved and admired both of my parents. My father was a doctor. Okay, shock, a Jewish doctor. Of course, my brother's a doctor, and my son will be a doctor in 3 days.
Wow.
Graduates from medical school.
Congratulations.
So the doctor thing, but I deeply loved my parents. They were both wonderful, loving people. I was raised in a moral home. And again, we didn't read the Bible at all. But my parents had upright ideas about truth and life, and they weren't perfect, of course. They instilled in us a couple things that maybe they shouldn't have. But really, my parents had tremendous influence on me as I grew up. And I'm going to tell you, when I was an atheist for 24 years, man. And during those years of atheism, I was a good person to the world. I had high standards. I was honest. I helped people who needed help. And I was a good person. But of course, I was blaspheming God. That's not so good. But that came from my parents. That's the point I was trying to make. That came from my parents. I had a good moral family, a loving family, and that was my main influence.
In that, how did you become an atheist?
Well, going back to synagogue, my services were Erev Shabbat, Friday nights. And so every Friday night, this is how it worked, man. When I was a kid, my dad would drive us, my brother and my sisters, he would drive us to synagogue, drop us off, go home and watch television, and then come back and pick us up when the service was over. Because my parents, just like the average typical, and I stress, not all Jews, but the average typical Jew goes to synagogue but a few times a year, and there are very few that go all the time, every week. But so my father would drop us off at synagogue, and I'd sit, and we had these wooden pews. They didn't have cushions on them. We had these wooden pews, and of course, much of the service was in Hebrew, and I was going to Hebrew school, so I would read the out of a prayer book called the Siddur, and all the prayers and the entire service is all laid out, other than the message from the rabbi. Everything's laid out in this prayer book, and I would look at the other people in the synagogue who were praying these prayers from the prayer book, and it was obvious they were just saying words. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, and you know, it was like, now we, and I said, well, why am I saying these words? Just because somebody wrote them in a book, I'm supposed to say these words? And then, Danny, I did the worst thing you can ever do. I decided to think about who God really was. In fact, my testimony CD that we have is called You Can't Think Your Way to God, because God is spirit, and you believe your way to God. You don't rationalize God. And I didn't know that. And as a young boy, 12 years old, in synagogue, I decided, you know what, there isn't a God. I mean, after all, look at the way the world is, and so on and so forth. And I left synagogue that day an atheist.
Well, there are moments of life that are pivotal points, and that was certainly a pivotal point for you, Jeffrey. And as you listen today to Jeffrey D., maybe you're at a pivotal point in your life. Perhaps you're an atheist yourself. Maybe deep inside you sincerely believe there is no God. And yet you're listening today because something has brought you here. You don't know it. You don't know how to describe it. Something's brought you here. Well, Jeffrey was an atheist for decades. A great atheist. Moral, honest, man of integrity, excellent. And yet, he experienced something miraculous that changed his life. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an e-book, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He grew up in a Jewish home and became an atheist. And he lived as an atheist for a couple of decades. Until something happened. I'm speaking of none other than Jeffrey D. Miller. Jeffrey D. Miller has a ministry. In fact, he has a ministry called Messianic Minutes. And in it, he shares with Rabbi Simon. And they talk together about reaching people in the lost house of Israel, as they would say. But he came to know Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah, in a miraculous way. He's going to share that story with us. To find out more about him, you can find out more at jeffreydmiller.com. That and his many ministry resources that he has along with his radio program. And to get this podcast is for free, get it in its entirety. Maybe you're tuning in right now. You can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Hey, Jeffrey D. Miller. Jeffrey, take us back. What happened when you talk about this miraculous experience?
Well, during the many years, 24 years of my life that I was an atheist, God kept bringing Christians into my path, trying to tell me about Jesus. Well, gag me with a spoon. That's the last thing I wanted to hear. But he kept bringing them. And I thought I was brilliant, and I thought I was showing them all that there's no God, and they were all crazy. But God kept bringing them. And got to the point where I'm working at this TV station. I was a TV newsman for many years. I was a TV news anchor and a radio talk show host and TV news. I spent a lot of years in the secular broadcasting industry. But at this TV station, good-looking blonde woman working right next to me on the news team in television, and she's a born-again believer, and we started to date. Now, I always joke about this. You remember the Odd Couple? We get a born-again Christian and an atheist Jew. You get an Odd Couple. She had a whole different idea about life than I did, and I didn't know this, but shortly after we started dating, the Spirit of God spoke to her heart, now, not in her ears, but in her heart, and told her in the depth of her heart that I, atheist Jew, was going to believe in Jesus, and that I, runaround bachelor, and I mean that in the worst sense of the word, was going to marry her. And glory to God, she had the wisdom to not tell me that, but prayed and prayed. And prayed. 2 years later, nothing changed. Man, I was probably worse. 2 years later, I challenged her. I said, I'm going to prove to you there's no God. I'm so sick of you trying to tell me about this God stuff. I know he's not there. I'm going to prove it. Here's how I'm going to prove it. I'm going to search for God. Now, I was a newsman, sensible, logical, rational, analytical. That's why I was an atheist. And I said, I'm going to prove he's not there. And then once and for all, you're going to shut up. Because I know there's no God. And I set out to search for God to prove he wasn't there. So she gave me stuff to read. She told me to pray at night. And, you know, I did everything she told me. And 6 weeks later, absolutely nothing. Zero times zero equals zero. I had found nothing. And if I were 1,000,000,000% sure there was no God before I started searching, I was now 10,000,000,000% certain there was no God. But during the 6 weeks that I was searching for God and finding nothing, a physical problem that had bothered me all of my adult life went away. Now, I was in my mid-30s. A physical problem that bothered me all of my adult life, just one day, it wasn't there. And I thought, hey, I lucked out. You know, body chemistry changes. Well, Danny, it was late night, Saturday night, July 1983. I was working weekends in a radio station. And I was on the air, and the music was playing, and microphone was turned off, and I'm reading a book that she'd given me by a famous movie actor. And as I'm reading this book, I thought it was the stupidest book I ever read, because the guy's talking, a famous movie actor, talking about Jesus like he's real. I don't think I'm like it, but it's like really stupid. And I'm reading in the book about how his fiance, this famous actor's fiance, got prayed for in a church for a physical problem she had, and the Lord healed her. Well, I didn't believe that. There's no God. He can't heal anybody. But as I'm reading in this book, again, it was late night, Saturday night, in July of 1983, I'm reading in this book, blah, 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 that's what it was to me, and I read some simple words, and the simple words were, she said to him, "Don't you see, God healed me." And I just read those words, "God healed me," boom, as if lightning struck me. Didn't. There was no lightning. There was no thunder. But I sure felt something from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, up and down my body, over and over again, like the biggest roller coaster ride you can imagine, times 10, over and over. It just ran up and down my body, and spontaneously tears gushed out of my eyes. I'm crying like crazy, like I'd never cried in my life. And I didn't know what was going on, but it was the single most powerful moment of my life. And as I stood there in that radio station, Danny, with this thing going up and down my body, with the tears piling out of my, pouring out of my eyes, on their own, my hands lifted up. Never done that in my life. My hands lifted up, and I looked skyward in the radio studio, but looked up, and to my shock, this atheist said, "Lord God, I'm healed." And listen, when an atheist says, "Lord God," already, this is big news.
Yeah.
And then, crying my eyes out as I'm saying this, this atheist Jew said, "Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God."
At that
point, life was changed, man. My life was changed.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, describe what was going on as far as, what do you think? Instinctively, you raise your hands, tears pouring out.
Yeah.
What was happening? How do you describe that?
Well, I've already said it was the single most powerful moment of my life, but to be sure, and this is really amazing, you know, we're a spirit and we live in a body. Our flesh and our spirit, the scriptures tell us over and over and over that the flesh and the spirit don't get along together, and they'll always be at enmity with one another. And I learned that lesson that night because my mind, inside my head, while I'm calling out to Jesus, my mind said, "What?" But my spirit was saying, "Jesus."
Yeah. There's a conflict.
It absolutely, but Jesus won. Hallelujah. My spirit won. And so what was going on that night was so overwhelming that it bypassed all my 24 years of atheism and my 36 years of life as a guy who thought, "I'm okay just the way I am. I don't need any help because I had these great jobs. I was a runaround bachelor. I was a happy guy. I never smoked, drank, or used drugs. Danny, I never did anything bad by the world standards ever. I drove the speed limit. I mean, I was a good guy." And there I was, crushed before God. Open book. I sing a little thing that God had me write, which I can't sing because I can't sing, but which is, "He touched me and I fell on my face and gave up the years of my disgrace." And isn't that what salvation is all about?
Yeah,
when we proclaim Jesus and we repent of our sins. Well, indeed, later that night when I got home, I walked into my bedroom. Now, I was 36 years old. I walked in my bedroom into my home and I collapsed on my knees. I just fell down. And I said, "Lord God, I'm a sinner." I thought I'd never sinned, Danny. I was a righteous man by atheist standards. And I said, "Lord God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins." And then you couldn't have paid me to do this. You couldn't have paid me enough to do this. I said, "Jesus, I want you in my life. I give my heart to you."
Well, that's a remarkably graphic, compelling conversion experience that you had. 6 years later, the Lord confirms a call that he'd given you while you were visiting Israel. What happened in between?
Well, it was a slow, you know, I was changed immediately. I was changed, but I didn't understand. go ahead and read the Bible. I mean, I had opened and read a couple passages, but I didn't know borscht, as we say in Jewish circles. I didn't know. And in the beginning, I wasn't going to read the Bible because they said, well, that obviously that's just a bunch of stories. I mean, I got Jesus. I don't need the Bible. You know, I got zapped by God. I got all I need. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I was dead wrong. So it took a while. I guess the most important part is that the process, it grew every day, every week, every month. I got a little closer to God. But the most important part is that 2 years later, I married that woman. The woman that God told I would marry, that my born-again Christian girlfriend from the TV station, we got married, and we had an amazing wedding. We had a Messianic Jewish wedding. Now, she has a little Jewish blood under, but primarily she had been raised Catholic, and then she, when she was 15, her testimony takes about 10 seconds. She heard the gospel and said, that's what I want. I want Jesus. That's it. And she gave her heart to Jesus on the spot. We had a wonderful Messianic Jewish wedding that even my unsaved Jewish friends and family, my parents had died already, so that would have been a problem, but they weren't there. But my unsaved Jewish family that was left and my unsaved Jewish friends that came to the wedding were crying. They were crying at our wedding because the Spirit of God was there and moved, and they didn't know what it was, but they're coming through the reception line saying, that was the most beautiful wedding I've ever been to, you know? And Jesus was in the wedding. So, praise the Lord. That was really a powerful part. But just to finish real fast, so after we got married, then I started growing even more and more and more, and, of course, got to the point where the Lord said, now I'm going to use you.
Well, when we talk
that
about...
story's big in itself.
We talk about the Hebrew Bible, and you growing up in synagogue. I've got to ask, you know. And when we come back from our break, I'd like for you to describe what was it like. How different was it for you as you after this encounter, after this miraculous, marvelous experience? How did your reading of Scripture change? What did it evoke in you? And you've got an intellectual mind. How did that work out with what, again, the spirit, the mind, the conflict, and what God was doing and preparing you to do, really, to the things that you're doing today? More from Jeffrey D. Miller, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
JeffreyDMiller.com. That's how you can find out more about Jeffrey D. and his ministry. Hey, he's been doing his Messianic Minutes program with Rabbi Simon. They've been doing it for 21 years. And you've got to feel his heart. I mean, you sense it as he's sharing from an atheist to someone who has been radically converted to following Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And he's here with us, Jeffrey D., Jeffrey D. Miller, jeffreydmiller.com. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today to get this program in its entirety. That and other resources, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Jeffrey, you've come to Christ. It's a radical moment in the radio studio. Your arms are lifted, tears flowing out of your cheeks from the top of your head to the very sole of your feet. Back up and down, you're touched by God. It's this incredibly evocative experience. Mm-hmm. How did it change? I mean, an atheist guy. How did it change your view of the scriptures, the Hebrew Bible?
Yeah. Well, the change took time. The first thing is, as I mentioned it a little while back in the program, when I grew up in my synagogue, we didn't really study Scripture. We talked about Scripture. I memorized the 23rd Psalm, as everybody else in my Hebrew class did. And we talked about the concepts of Scripture, but we never really read it much. And then after I became an atheist and got into my teens, into my 20s, I didn't touch the Bible. I mean, I just ran. If somebody was, it says in the Bible, I'd say, who cares? If there's no God, how can he have a word? So it's not God's word. There's no God. So I had totally, I used to say, I can write a better story than Jonah and the whale. Give me a break. I mean, fairy tale. That's all it is. That's what I thought. After I had my extremely, as you've noted, powerful experience with the Lord, and listen, I was the most shocked guy on the face of the earth, incidentally. I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for the opposite. So when it happened, it was so overwhelming. I changed. But my flesh didn't change. And I went through months, two years maybe, before I even started picking up a Bible and starting to read it. And then as my first experiences in reading the Bible as a believer were complaining. Oh, come on, God, this can't be you. How can you mean that? And those kinds of reactions. And then I got married to that born-again Christian woman, and I started to read the Bible a little more, but it was reluctant. I wasn't happy with it until one day, and this is just perfect God stuff, till one day I'm sitting in a chair in my home reading the Bible, struggling like crazy, saying, how can this possibly be true? This just doesn't make sense. I just read that back there. Now I'm reading this over here. They don't fit together. And the light bulb went off. And I looked up and I said, oh, wait a minute. This either, meaning the Bible, has to all be true or none of it's true. Because it can't be partially true. Otherwise, which parts are true? And I had that revelation. It's all true. And I looked up. And honestly, Danny, just like this, I looked up and said, God, it's all true, isn't it? And you want me to believe it? Oh, no. And I looked up and I said, Adam and Eve? Because I was an evolutionist guy. Mm-hmm. I said, Adam and Eve? Really? Noah and the ark? You want me to believe that? And I was stuck. I was stuck because I said, you know, it's either all true or it isn't. And if it isn't true, then who's God? Then who's Jesus? And I looked up and I said, okay, God, I got it. I pledge to you this day that I am going to believe your word, whether I like it, whether I understand it, regardless, I commit. I'm going to believe the Bible. And Danny, that's when my faith took off. Despite the incredible experience I had in that radio station, when I committed to the Bible, wow, that's when I really started to, well, understand is the wrong word, but started to believe even more.
Jeffrey, somebody listening is maybe saying to themselves, well, you know, did he leave his intelligence behind to just jump? Did he take a leap of faith? Is it a leap of blind faith? I mean, to believe, I mean, basically what you're saying is, you know, I'm going to believe whether I understand it or not, but God gave you, he gave you a sharp mind, a good mind. How do you reconcile the two?
And the answer is right in the Bible. And I got to tell you, I used to joke about the different books of the Bible. I mean, I would say, I honestly thought that 1 Peter and 2 Peter were two different guys, you know, like Tsar Peter the First.
Right.
So the second, and I said, there sure were a lot of Johns. And then I literally said the book of Ephesians. I said, Ephesians, that sounds like a disease. I'm not reading the Ephesians. There's enough trouble in the world. I don't need Ephesians. And I thought, you know, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians was about leather. But anyway, when I finally got to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I had already committed to the Bible by this time, but I about jumped out of my skin when I read 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There it is. Foolishness to the world, foolishness to the wise, foolishness to the intellectual, foolishness to common sense, but the power of God to faith. To those who believe.
Well, you've been catapulted by the Lord, both, I guess we could say figuratively and in reality. You've been catapulted as your ministry has expanded, but you really have a heart for Jewish people, don't you?
Reaching Jewish people is what the Lord called me to do.
Describe how you got that calling, and let's talk about your ministry.
I want to add that in the 24 years of our traveling ministry, we've prayed with tons of people to accept Jesus, and most of them have been Gentile. But praise the Lord, there have been quite a number of Jewish people that have come to the Lord by the Holy Spirit, and I'm just the middleman.
Explain how, give us an example of a story of you leading a Jewish person to the Lord.
Okay, well, and there are many, but one that just jumps out of my mind is we conduct quite a number of Jesus in the Passover Seders every year. As a matter of fact, I just finished my busiest time, and I'm schlepping all over doing Seders and preaching about Jesus and Passover, because Passover was just last week, you know. But the point is, I do them all over the country, and I do them, well, wherever the Lord opens the door for them. And there was a Jewish woman who had come, had been invited by somebody to come to one of these seders. Now, typically, Jewish people don't want to go to a seder in a church or a seder that has the name Jesus in the title, Jesus and the Passover Seder, but they've come.
And what is seder?
Oh, the seder is the Passover meal.
Okay.
But it's really not a meal. Seder is a Hebrew word that means order, but it's to remember God said back in the book of Exodus, when he brought Moses and the children of Israel out of bondage and slavery in Egypt, he said to them, you shall have a memorial feast throughout all your generations. And that feast of remembrance of the miracle he did at Passover, that's called a Seder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an event that Jewish people do in their homes, and Jesus did it. The Last Supper was a Passover Seder. And it's very clear, if you go back in Scripture and look at it, that he said, I fervently desire to eat the Passover with you, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that Last Supper really should be called the Last Seder, because that's what it was. And in fact, that's the key, is that Jesus is right in the middle of this ancient Jewish custom and tradition. Jesus is in it. And that it's a knockout, because Jewish people don't see him, but they will someday, praise God. But he's there, and not literally, but figuratively, in so many of the things that are done traditionally at the Seder. So here was a Jewish woman that had come to a Seder because somebody invited her, and we always make an invitation to salvation at the end of the Seder, and this woman had responded. She said to me, and she was an adult Jewish woman, she said, I have been to a Seder every year of my life. This is the first one I ever understood. And what she was saying is, Jesus fulfills it. Jesus makes it come to life. It's not just ceremony. It's not just tradition. It's not just cultural activity, which is what it is for most Jewish people. Rather, God set it up that it's about Jesus. And it points right to him mm-hmm. in several different areas.
Do you get opposition?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's not fierce, but I've had Jewish people swear at me, rather violently swear. I had a Jewish man say to me, and I say this with reservation, but he said it to me. He was fuming at me, fuming. Now, I'm not combative when I'm speaking to a Jewish person or anybody. I mean, I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to guide me. I'm not up in your face and pointing fingers
right.
about Jesus. But this guy got so upset, he looked at me and he shouted, I wish you would have died in the Holocaust.
Wow.
I gasped.
Hmm.
I said, what?
Wow.
And I said, do you know what you just said? He said, yes, and I meant it.
Hmm.
And then we were in a parking lot at the time, and he stomped off to his car and spun his wheels pulling out of the parking lot, yelling at me out the window. And it was and here's the good news. I said, Lord, that's hot coals upon his head. Hallelujah. This is going to convict him someday. Someday he's going to look back at this and say, what did I do? And he's going to be repentant, and it's going to be a door opener for Jesus.
A tender heart indeed, the heart of Jeffrey D. Miller, of Jeffrey D. Miller Ministries, bringing the message of Messiah to the Jews. When we come back, you're going to hear about this this marvelous ministry with a magnanimous heart for the Jews, and how the Lord is using Jeffrey D. and his wife Karen and their team, Rabbi Simon and Messianic Minutes, to reach people. Yes, he's led many multitudes of Gentiles to the Lord, and he's also led Jewish people to the Lord. That's really his heart, and that's what he's striving for and reaching to do, and the Lord is enabling him to do it. You'll hear it from him, Jeffrey D., when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an e-book, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm with Jeffrey D. Miller of Jeffrey D. Miller Ministries. I call him Jeffrey D. And he was traveling in Israel, visiting Israel. Something happened there. And to find out more about that, he's going to explain it to you. But to find out more about his ministry, jeffreydmiller.com. Hey, Jeffrey, take us back. Something happened while you were visiting Israel?
Yeah, unfortunately, I've only been to Israel once, but it was 3 months after I came to faith. So as I explained earlier, I was zapped by God, and I was a believer, but I didn't really know what I believed. I mean, I knew I believed Jesus was the Son of God, that he set me free from my sin, but I hadn't read the Bible yet, and I'm in Israel, and I didn't know what I was looking at. I mean, we went to the upper room, and I said, that I know. That's over the lower room. You know, that to me, that was, I never heard of the upper room, Danny. I didn't know, but we're in the rebuilt upper room, because the original is long gone. We're in the rebuilt upper room in Jerusalem. And a man I'd never seen in my life walks up to me and sticks a finger in my face. He was from the States, but I'd never seen this man. He was from North Carolina, not from Pennsylvania. He stuck his finger in my face, and he said, "You'll be used as a mouthpiece for the Lord." And he walked away, and I went like, yeah, well, you know, I'm a broadcaster. I'm a mouthpiece, okay. And I forgot about it. And 6 years later, I was standing in my living room. I had been the general manager of a TV station. I got fired. I was the boss, and I got fired by the new president of the company. And things weren't working out, and I didn't the way I thought they would. And I'm standing in the living room, and I'm frustrated. And I looked up, and I did one of these. God, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. I was not happy. All right? Mm-hmm. God, what do you want me to do? And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart again. I didn't hear anything in my ears. But in that still, small voice, that inward witness, whatever you want to call it, it was as real could be inside me, full-time traveling ministry. I looked up and I said, me? See, atheist Jews don't think about being a ministry man. It was never on my list. And I looked up and I said, me? And the Spirit of God spoke in my heart again and said, I told you in Jerusalem. And I remembered, you'll be used as a mouthpiece for the Lord. And the hair in the back of my neck stood up, and I knew this was God's telling me, go tell my story. And that was 24 plus years ago, and God, needless to say, has refined me up this way, over that way. I'm sure you can identify with this, brother. You know, he's changed me in so many ways and, you know, showed me this way, that way. But what's come out of it all, and early in the ministry, was this need to reach the Jewish people. It says in Jeremiah 31, verse 7, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Hosha Adonai Adamcha et Sha'ari Israel. O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. And that's the call that God gave me. Now, the way I do it is through the church. God, I didn't know that in the beginning, but that's what God's shown me, is light a fire under the Christian church about the Jewishness of Jesus, so that, number one, Bible believers will be drawn closer to Jesus, and number two, Bible believers will now have more of an impetus to pray for and witness to Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And along the way, of course, as we mentioned, we've been blessed to pray with lots and lots of Jews and Gentiles to come to know Jesus. But the point is that this is so simple, Danny. Jesus came as a Jew to the Jews to fulfill the Jewish prophecies and scriptures. Now, how much more Jewish can you get?
How much more Jewish can we get? And yet, we live in a society where we'll listen to, we'll watch a movie, and we'll see Jesus with blue eyes, blonde hair, or sort of blonde.
Straight nose.
And he always speaks with a British accent.
Isn't that something?
Huh.
I tell people all the time, if you've got a picture of Jesus as anything other than a Mediterranean Jew, you got the wrong picture. He spoke with his hands, Danny.
Spoke with his hands. Expressive.
He spoke with his hands. He's a Mediterranean Jew. He probably had dark, kinky, black hair, and he was out in the sun all the time. He probably had very dark complected, good, big suntan, and he was a man of passion. Mediterranean Jews, just like the whole Mediterranean region, hot-blooded Mediterranean. You know, Greeks, Italians, Spaniards, Jews, Israelis is a better way to say it, even, and Arabs, hot-blooded. Jesus was hot-blooded.
So when you speak, talk to us about the Jewishness of Jesus. Let's go further.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, it's so obvious in the Scripture. There's so many times that Jesus is depicted in his specific Jewishness. For example, when he says to the woman of the Syrophoenician woman who comes and says, now Syrophoenician woman was a Gentile, and she comes and begs him, heal my daughter, she's demon-possessed. And he won't even talk to her. It's right there in the Scripture in Matthew. He won't even talk to her. And finally he says, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, he identified himself as the Jewish Messiah. Anytime he talked about Messiah, it was always in a Jewish context. When the Samaritan woman at the well comes up to him, and he says, give me a drink of water. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God. I thirst, draw water for me. Yeah, somebody said, give me a drink of water. She looked at him and says, how is it that you, being a Jew, she knew he was Jewish right away. Why? Because he looked like one, sounded like one, talked like one, dressed like one. He was as Jewish could be. And she knew it right away. He didn't have a theological discussion with her that she realized he was Jewish. All he said was, give me a drink of water. And you know what? Maybe this is the most stirring, and this is a great way to witness to a Jewish person. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment of them all? We know this, Danny. He could have given a whole lot of really powerful answers for what's the most important commandment. But the one he chose was the single most sacred prayer in all of Judaism. The Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Va'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'kol levavako, uv'kol nafshako, uv'kol ma'odecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And every Jew of Jesus' day prayed that prayer two times a day, every day of their life. They all knew it. And it's right out of Deuteronomy 6:4-5. It's It's the Torah. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment of them all? He quotes the Torah, the books of Moses. You can't get any more Jewish than that. And again, that prayer was the most sacred prayer in all of Judaism. Incidentally, when he said that, it was written in the New Testament. What does that tell us? It was Jewish then. It's still Jewish now. The true Jew believes Jesus is the Messiah. The true Jew. And we say, well, you mean the rabbi's not really Jewish? Well, that's what Paul said in Romans. He said that the real Jew is not one who's one outwardly, but inwardly. So physical Jews are still physical Jews. That doesn't change. But spiritual Jews have to be born again in Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Jeffrey, a Jewish listener tuning into our program right now, maybe an atheist, maybe someone just seeking, wondering, what would you say to them?
First thing I would say is I'm not crazy, all right? Because that's the first thing they're going to think. Oh, that guy's full of lies. Mm-hmm. Here's what I, but if I could talk, if they would call in and say, how can you possibly say that? I would say, listen, take what you've got and what you believe and what's it to you? And I already know the answer. Not much, if anything. Maybe you ought to consider giving God a chance to show you the truth. And that's really where it's at. You know, the most success I've had in praying with Jewish people, when I'm witnessing to them one-on-one, is I almost always end up saying, if this is really true, don't you want to know? And some say no, because it can't be true. But when we say, will you simply pray, God, if this is true, show me. That's the most powerful moment. And I have seen, I can't tell you how many times I've seen Jewish people, I look straight in their eye and I say, will you just say, God, if this is true, show me. And almost always their eyes soften, sometimes they tear up. You see it right in them. Now, some of them will pray it, some won't. Some pray it and have an experience right away. Some don't. Quite a number of times, just give God a chance.
Yes.
Just pray. And if I say, look, it's win-win. If God isn't who he says he is, nothing's going to happen. And if God is who he says he is, then he's got to tell you the truth. So if you say, God, show me, if he can't answer you, he won't. Or if it's not true, he won't. And if it is true, it meaning that Jesus is the Messiah and the only way to our Father in heaven. If that's the case, then he's got to show you. And we've seen Jewish people come to the Lord after other witnessing. But that's the crux of it right there.
Jeffrey, your story, of course, the story you're telling of it, it draws me in, it draws us in, it draws people in, because as the Lord has worked in your life and it's your story, it's their story too. And it can be their story as well. As you open yourself, I just love your reliance on the mighty working of God's Spirit and your focus on Yeshua HaMashiach, and the teaching of the Jewishness of Jesus. This is Jeffrey D. Miller, and you can find out more about him at jeffreydmiller.com. Dear one, I hope that you've been encouraged today from his insights, Jeffrey D. Find out more at jeffreydmiller.com. You know what? God's timing is perfect, and that's why you're listening right now. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Yeshua HaMashiach with someone near you. If you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus, the Messiah. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there, and to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Messiah Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by his blood. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Jeffrey D. Miller. Find out more at jeffreydmiller.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.